Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com with your hosts, Maureen Hollering, Steve Frampton, Brenda McCoy, and Bobby Marcheso. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Brenda, also known as Lady Brenda on Psychic Access, and you're listening to The Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. I hope everybody's having a wonderful day today. I just want to say one thing. It's a full moon in Taurus. It's a great time to emphasize the beauty and the possibilities of life. Also, to look deeply into what is really important to you and to release things that just don't matter anymore, that are just old and worn out. We have a very special guest tonight. Her name is Karen Tate. She's an author and a priestess. But before we get started, join me in welcoming my co-host. Steve, how are you doing today?
Extremely well, thank you, Brenda.
Would you please tell us a little bit about yourself?
Absolutely. My name's Steve. I'm originally from the UK. I now live in Knoxville, Tennessee. I've been with Psychic Access for almost a year, and I give readings online as a psychic medium.
With such a dishy accent. And Maureen, how are you doing this evening?
I'm very well. Steve, you know I adore you. I just want to sound like you. I'm fine. Steve really learned that accent, though, from somebody that we both go to now. But no, I'm Maureen. And thank you for having me. And you're going to ask me, so what do you do? And I go, okay.
What's your expertise?
My expertise. Well, I am what I am. I'm an empath. I'm an intuitive. Tarot is very connected. I use that tool. I help people help themselves or give them the opportunity to see a negative, if negative can make it into a positive, and a lot of lessons. And I love my work. It is hard at times, but I do feel that it's what I'm supposed to do. So there you have it. I'm also at PsychicAccess.com with the rest of you wonderful people on this show. Thank you.
And Bobby, our new co-host.
Hello.
Hey, tell us about what you do. We want to know. Inquiring minds.
I have no accent like Steve. It always seems like our topic goes around Steve and his wonderful accent. So I, too, enjoy his accent, but I have none. I'm a psychic medium as well, and new. I've been with Psychic Access for a week and a half now. And
he's the newbie, new kid on the block.
I'm the newbie, but I enjoy it. I've met some really wonderful people who have called in for readings, so I've been very impressed and looking forward to doing more shows with all of you. So yeah.
Well, that's really great. We're glad to have you.
Thank you.
And this is my first show, so have mercy on me today.
You sound great.
You'll be great, Brenda.
My name is Brenda, and I'm also known as Lady Brenda on Psychic Access, and I work for PsychicAccess.com as well. And I'm a predictive psychic. I specialize in, I take that leap into the times, dates, and places, predictions, and I'm also a clairvoyant, and I do some medium work as well. We have something really great that came through from one of our listeners of the show today, and I really wanted to share it with everybody. Because, it's just validation, because I think that we really enjoy doing this show, and we love the guests, and we just feel like we're, becoming a little beacon of enlightenment on the internet here. And there was a wonderful person named Seti who wrote us a letter, and I'd like to read it to everybody so that you can kind of, see what our show has actually meant to this person. This is what Seti said. Hi, guys. Would like to say that you are all doing a terrific job. I honestly enjoy listening to Psychic Access Talk Radio. I discovered the show last year when I decided to seriously embark on a journey of spiritual awakening. the universe knew exactly what I needed and led me to the show on iTunes. I listened to the show and was hooked. I downloaded and listened to all the archives, and I learned a lot. The show introduced me to tarot cards and demystified the misconceptions I had about them, like they're from the devil or evil. Since then, and I bought my very own Rider-Waite pack, and I learned to read the cards. Thank you, guys. All the shows you guys have produced have helped me understand my place in the universe and the relationship I share with everything around me. I now know that everything is energy, and we are all connected in ways that modern science has not even begun to understand. I learned about spirit. Steve likes mentioning this a lot, and I like the way he talks to spirit, too. He's our little spirit connector. And I learned to hear spirit very clearly telling me. I know that spirit, God, universe, or whatever we label that, is greater than all of us and loves us, and death is nothing to be afraid of. During our readings, lots of past loved ones come through and let us know that all is well and they are with us here. My favorite show is the one about soulmates. I thought that was a great letter. What do you think, you guys?
That was wonderful.
I know.
It was very nice. Thank you out there. And you know what? You read it really, really. It was nice and sounding. It was very nice the way you read it.
Well, I want to thank Sadie again. It was just like...
Yeah, it was very nice of you, her, to take the time out.
Just fans, yay.
Yeah, and it's nice to hear back from people, because not about our ego, but it's about our show as a whole ego. But I think it's great. Yeah, absolutely.
So if anybody else has any thing they'd like to share, you know, feel free to email us. That would be nice.
Just express yourselves.
Okay, so tonight I am delighted and honored to interview our special guest, Karen Tate. Karen Tate is an independent scholar of the sacred feminine. She is also an ordained minister, priestess, and a graduate of the Women's Theological Institute, which specializes in women's spirituality. She is the founder of the Isis Ancient Cultures Society and the host of the blog radio show Voices of the Sacred Feminine. Karen is a published author of Sacred Places of the Goddess and Walking an Ancient Path, which has won the National Best Books Award of 2008. She has been interviewed extensively in the Los Angeles and Seattle Times and is a regular contributor to the Woman's Goddess and Spirituality column in the Examiner. Please welcome author and priestess Karen Tate.
Hi, Brenda.
Hi, Karen. How are you?
I'm really good. Thank you for having me on the show tonight.
I'm really thrilled to have Karen, because we've kind of, for many years, we've danced around the whole kind of like goddess spirituality groups in the Los Angeles area, and our paths have crossed many times. And I'm really impressed with what Karen's done with her books, and I think that everybody would. You know, I thought she's a perfect guest to enlighten us on this subject.
Oh, well, thank you, Brenda. And, you know, and really, I have to give kudos to you, too, because you were one of my early teachers when I was first discovering Isis. I will never forget our first sister-making class. That was the most fun I ever had.
Oh, that's true, yes. That was fun. If anybody knows what a sistrum is, it's an Egyptian magical tool. It's a tool to bring in, kind of like it dispels the negative energies and it brings in the good vibrations, almost kind of like a Native American rattle, but it's called a sistrum.
Yeah, and it's you know, it's sort of a symbol of the sacred masculine and divine feminine too, just sort of like the Ankh, because you have the mm-hmm. loop at the top, which represents the womb, and then you have the mm-hmm. handle, which is the phallus. So I think that's really interesting, too.
It is very much so, yes. And so let me just, for those people who are listening who are not familiar with the goddess, can you describe who she is and what she means to all of us?
Me?
Yeah, just in a nutshell, honey.
Well, you know, what I usually say when I go out and I'm talking to groups is you can look at goddess in three different ways. You can look at her as a deity that resides in the heavens, She can be an archetype, like the archetype of a mother or a muse or a warrior, or you can look at her as an ideal. And in the very beginning, when I was new to goddess spirituality, I really just sort of, Isis sort of replaced Mary for me, you know, and she was really sort of this, you know, this all-loving, all-knowing, all-nurturing mother who lived in the heavens. In fact, sometimes I joke, you know, I say I imagine, you know, goddess sitting alongside God in their rocking chairs, scratching their head, saying, you know, God says to goddess and says, you know, honey, you know, why did our kids ever kick you to the curb and divorce us? You know, we don't understand why, you know, so many of our religions have abandoned the goddess. But, you know, she's been around, she's been worshipped longer than the male god. She's been worshipped for 35, 40,000 years. You can look at artifacts like the Venus of Willendorf and items like that. You can Google it. So, yeah, she's so many different things to so many different people. And I think she's an incredible symbol of empowerment for women because, you know, like so many of us who grew up in Christianity, mm-hmm. we have this idea that men are made in God's image. So where does that leave women? But women are also made in the image of the divine. They're made in the image of goddess. So, you know, there is partnership. There is equality. But then, you know, then you're getting into the archetypes and the ideal and the politics. So it's a big, big subject.
It's huge, and we're scratching the surface here, but and you talked about the male and female energies, and it's really appropriate, I think, you know, considering tonight is the full moon, because the full moon embodies both the feminine, it's the polarity and the reflection of both the male and the female energies. And we've got the full moon mother, which is a reflection. The full moon would never be full if the sun didn't shine on her face. So the sun being the male energy and the moon being the female energy, it represents, you know, the conjoined energies of both of them. I think it's fascinating that it just landed on tonight that we talk about the subject.
Oh, absolutely. It was a good night to do this. Very fortuitous.
Yeah, and it's ruled by Venus, too. Taurus is ruled by Venus, the planet of love.
Well, and for those listeners who don't know, you know, the full moon is always the time to do your, you know, to do your prayer work, to do your focused intention, your spells, mm-hmm. whatever you want to call it, because it's all the same thing, at least I think so. You know, this is the time to draw things to you. You know, the energies of the universe are on your side to pull things towards you that you need in your life.
Yes, because the moon, they've actually kind of like, because the moon, they consider the moon as the mother. The moon is the mother, and they've also measured that the moon's magnetic force is actually the closest to the ground at this time. That's why the energy is so intense. So another, what I wanted to ask you, because we're going to take some steps back here, because we want to know what led you to travel to these sacred sites. You know, I know that you had a tour company at one time called A Special Journeys. Mm-hmm. And what inspired you? Did you just hit upon it, or did you get requests to go to these places? Or?
Well, it was a mixture of a couple things, Brenda. You know, you've probably heard me say before that I grew up in New Orleans, and that was the Bible Belt. And, you know, mm-hmm. in the Bible Belt, we didn't hear anything about goddess. You know, that was just sort of taboo. Then I moved out to California, and I think now it was like, you know, the goddess was always waiting for me to awaken to her. Mm-hmm. I knew about Mary, of course, but, you know, we're not taught to think of her as a goddess. You know, she's less than God, you know, in Christianity. But I moved out here, and suddenly, you know, the world opened up. There was so many more, you know, new ideas. And, you know, they say there's no coincidences, so I doubt, you know, so I stumbled into goddess spirituality, and Isis particularly. And it was a slippery slope for me from there. You know, when I discovered there was a feminine face of God, that meant a lot of personal empowerment for me as a woman. Probably the two books that made the most influence on me were Rhianne Eisler's Chalice and a Blade and Merlin
Stone's. Oh, yeah, that's a good one, and that's a classic, too.
Yeah, and the other was another classic, Merlin Stone's When God Was a Woman. And when I realized, you know, goddess was worshipped 30 or 40,000 years ago, well, you know, I have to admit, at first I was really angry because I felt like the church had really done a number on so many people and duped all of us, you know, sort of sweeping all of this knowledge under the rug. So I embarked on a personal journey of teaching myself all the things I hadn't been taught up until that point in life. And in taking the taking the journeys to sacred places, well, that was part of the learning for me. You know, I'm a Virgo, you know, so I needed to validate it. I needed to analyze it. Yes, you know, I didn't want it to be just
you must analyze everything.
Well, I can't help it, you know.
That's the way I work. A big part of what I admire about you is you need to know it all. And, you know, if you're going to get into something, you're going to go 110%. You know,
well,
and that's important,
you know,
I feel, especially if you're going to write about something. And, you know, when you talked a little bit about, you know, discovering the goddess and stuff, and a little touch on religion here, and a lot of people who are listening, you know, they may not put, you know, two and two together with the whole, you know, concept of God and goddess, but do you think that there is a reemergence of the goddess in modern religion today, or do you think there needs to be?
Well, I think there is, and yes, there needs to be. And let's not forget, some cultures have never forgotten the goddess. You look in India, and though it is very patriarchal, and goddess has been what we call domesticated or spousified, they haven't forgotten her for 3,000 years. You know, you look at the Shinto, they haven't forgotten her. You look at the Native Americans, they've never forgotten her. It's us in the West who have been brainwashed to forget her, you know, and marginalize her if we do find out. We do need a resurgence because her archetypes are crucial to women, and her ideals, they're crucial for us in society and our culture for a sustainable planet. They're crucial for us to change things. I don't think it's going too far at all to equate everything that's happening out in the street today, the Occupation Wall Street, the people who are rising up. I think this is all part of the rebirth of the sacred feminine. It's about bringing balance back into the world. It's about bringing wholeness. It's about justice. It's about equality. She's all those things, and that's what people are out there fighting for, and these are ideals of goddess spirituality. So you see, it runs the gamut, you know, of so many different things, you know, from your personal home altar, you know, the person you pray to that you want to hear your prayers, and so many people, you know, turn to Isis. You know, she was such a powerful goddess.
And Isis is for those people who don't know, Isis is the premier goddess in the Egyptian pantheon, but she also has, you know, many other names, and you know, so, you know, you can, Isis is she's one of the most popular of all the goddesses out there, wouldn't you say? You would have to say that, Karen, wouldn't you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and it's backed up by scholarship. I mean, the author R.E. Witt, in his book, the title escapes me at the moment, but he said,
oh, I read
that
it. I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah, he said Isis was a mistress that was almost not dethroned. You know, that the Isian religion really gave Christianity a run for its money, because in reality Christianity copied the Isian religion. The idea
they really did the concept of Mary and the child, and in Cleopatra, that was her goddess too.
Yes. Cleopatra believed she was the earthly embodiment of Isis.
Exactly. And, you know, and what does that symbolize? What does that tell you? You know, that tells you a lot right there. She was the mother of the people.
And you look at that was a powerful woman in ancient times. But but religion is all about power and politics. And in Christianity, there was a lot going on about taking power away from women, getting rid of paganism, because within paganism there were a lot of different gods, and there were a lot of female gods, and when you go to sacred sites, for instance, I mean, this was something, you know, I learned firsthand and stood there in these places, you always had Christianity coming in and co-opting a pagan site, and we end up with really goddesses like Isis or Artemis. They just sort of pass their baton on to Mary. Mary becomes the Christian goddess. And when people were threatened with death, that they had to give up paganism, well, you know, they just sort of shifted focus to Mary. Mary became the goddess, and she's still
they related to her because that never really, it just kind of went underground. I mean, I don't know if you can really say religion is man-made, as religion would be more politics, because it just feels like the saints themselves, I mean, you know, like in Mother Mary, those just kind of embodied the different gods and goddesses. Wouldn't you agree?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. You know, it just sort of shifted, shifted in another direction. But women really took a hit, you know, when Christianity rolled around. You know, women had to become subservient to their husbands, you know, and, you know, become chattel. And, I mean, look, it wasn't a utopia in the pagan world. But like in Egypt, for instance, especially, I mean, women had rights. They could divorce their husband in some parts of, you know, like around Turkey and that Asian
Well, in the Celtic society and among the Druids, the women were the landowners.
Yeah,
and they could have more than one husband. Ha ha ha! Interesting, that's a Druid tradition, actually. You know, I don't know if Steve knows about that. He's from England. What do you think about that, Steve? Have you heard that?
I have heard that, but it's not common practice now.
No, but in ancient times.
In ancient times, absolutely, because they worshipped the goddess. Mm-hmm. They worshipped the feminine energy. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you go to these sacred sites, you know, a lot of them are really so potent that, you know, you really can still feel the energy of the land. But you don't have to really go to Ireland or Egypt or something to feel it. You know, you can feel it here in the United States. You just have to, start learning how to tune in.
Mm-hmm. How do you believe that a person is drawn to a particular goddess? Or, you know, I tend to think that a goddess and that female entity kind of chooses you. What are your feelings on that?
Well, you know, Brenda, I don't know. There were times when I thought that I was the one in control when I chose Isis, but I think I've gotten wiser.
Are we really in control ever?
We don't have any control.
I don't think so.
I think she probably was there waiting for me to wake up to her for a long time. I think it comes to us in different ways, but when you start to have a particular interest in something and you follow it, I think that's usually her sort of lighting the path for you, sort of showing you what direction she's trying to guide you, to teach you. And sometimes, you know, sometimes those are hard lessons and sometimes those are very, you know, fun, bright, enlightening lessons, but, you know, she teaches us what we need to survive. You know, I think she teaches us what we need to know her, and to live in the world. You know, some of my toughest lessons, I believe, were lessons of goddess that have made me a tenacious person who doesn't give up, you know, who
And that's an excellent lesson. That's a wonderful lesson, because if you give up, you'll never really know if you're ever going to make it. See what I mean? You're never going to know if you'll attain your goal if you give up.
Right. And, you know, goddesses like Isis and Sekhmet especially, there's another Egyptian goddess. She has a temple right outside Las Vegas.
Tell us a little bit about that for those people some people that might live in Nevada. Is there, I mean, I've never been to the Sekhmet temple. I always wanted to go. I mean, I've been to the one in Egypt, but I haven't been to the one in Las Vegas.
Well, you know, it's a great field trip. And if you're going to Las Vegas especially, you know, leave a half a day aside, because it's about maybe 90 minutes, I want to say, northwest of Vegas in Indian Springs. And there's a real magical story as to why the temple even exists. There was a woman by the name of Genevieve Vaughn. She's a real woman. She was a wealthy woman, but she could never get pregnant. And she went on a trip to Egypt, and she found out that the Egyptian lion-headed goddess Sekhmet was a mother and a healer. In fact, her son is like the patron of doctors. And so she made a promise to Sekhmet. She said to Sekhmet, you know, if you help me get pregnant, I'll build a temple to you. Now, after years of not being able to get pregnant, she came home, and the story is within a few months, she was pregnant with her first daughter. She ended up having several daughters. So
Wow, a daughter's not... Yeah,
huh?
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. And so she built the temple. She built the temple to Sekhmet out there, and it's on Indian land. And part of the reason it was built there on Indian land is because the government used to do nuclear testing out there. And because she's a healer, they thought that her presence there would also help heal the land. And, you know, you can go out there, men and women alike, they do rituals all during the year. It's an ecologically, designed, temple with crystals from Taos, New Mexico and some of the, you know,
That sounds absolutely fascinating.
Yeah, yeah, it is. There's a labyrinth out there that you can walk in. You can make arrangements to stay overnight, and you know, there's always something going on. And I mean, you can Google it. You know, just look up the Sekhmet Temple in Indian Springs, and you know, going back to this idea of, you know, the goddess is also about ideals. Well, you know, some of the women in the goddess community, you know, who are looking to maybe reshape our culture in a better way, so that, you know, more people have more, and, you know, it's not so, you know, it's not this pyramid of the people at the top with everything and the rest of us down at the bottom with so much less. You know, they talk about a gift-giving economy. So, you know, so you'll also learn about that if you go out to the Sekhmet Temple, you know, these concepts of a gift-giving society as well, which we could, you know, incorporate within our society that would, you know, help more people, you know.
So do you think that for people, you know, And I don't believe that it would conflict really, you know, if people got more in touch with the goddess energy. I don't feel personally that it would conflict with their specific, you know, religions, unless they were very, very much locked into something that was very fundamental that excluded it specifically. See what I mean?
Yeah, you're right, Brenda, because the reality is, you know, I like to even say Jesus was probably the first feminist, you know, and he probably learned at the knee of his mother,
Well,
Mary.
There was Mary Magdalene.
Yeah, and Mary Magdalene, too. You know, when you think about, okay, what are goddess ideals? You know, because I give lectures on this. Goddess ideals are things like peace, balance, wholeness, partnership, justice, equality, tolerance. I mean, who doesn't want these things in their life? You know, I mean, it's sort of a no-brainer, really. So unless you're, you know, really, like you said, into some sort of fundamentalist thing where, you know, you buy
it only enhance your life. It really would. I mean, it would only enhance your life, and especially, you know, with all the stuff that's going on today.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. These
it's crazy. It's crazy out there.
Yeah, I mean, these are the things that are missing from our society. You know, we weren't intended to be the survival of the fittest, individualist. I mean, we're all interconnected. We're, you know, a microcosm of the macrocosm. You know, we are all interdependent, and we really do have to think about one another. We have to share. We have to nurture one another. Of course, we have to work hard. Of course, we have to be accountable. But, you know, some of these ideas out there that would leave some people, you know, dying under a bridge, while the rest have gold toilet seats. I mean, come on.
Well, you know, it's interesting because we talked about the balance of the male and female energies, and I think that you're right. It's just it's been shown in history when the balance is so far off, then you're going to see that. You're going to see the extremes of the haves and the have-nots and all that stuff. And how do you think, you know, if we had the balanced energies in the world today, do you believe that things, especially in the area of like peace and war and stuff like that, I mean, like you said, it would be a no-brainer. I know that when certain, you know, women were ruling, and like, for example, Elizabeth I, I mean, she came into like a mess and she brought peace and prosperity. Hatshepsut of Egypt was the first female pharaoh, and she did the same thing, 30 years of peace. What do you think about that?
I think some of it's really basic. I think women are less prone to send their children that they've birthed from their loins to war, for one thing. You know, and women, you know, I hate to reduce this to gender, because it would be nice if we lived in a society where we could not talk about gender. But, you know, men and women think differently. And, you know, men think in a more linear fashion, and women think more about the big picture. You know, there's even a study done by some scientists in Berkeley that talk about the rods and cones in our eyes. And I always get that mixed up a little bit. I forget which is the rods and which are the cones. But women's eyes are such that they see a bigger sort of picture, and men see, again, a more linear picture. So aside from it being, you know, just sort of in metaphor, it's also in physical reality. And so that's what happens. You know, women tend to think, well, how are these actions going to affect the whole? You know, and when you think like that, you're thinking for your family, or you're thinking for the community, or you're thinking globally. You know, you're not fixed on, you know, one particular goal and be damned with what that's going to do to other people. You know, it's just a more well-rounded approach. And a friend of mine said once, you know, when we have the masculine and feminine imbalance, you know, when we're talking spiritually, when we're talking from an idealistic, you know, from the standpoint of ideals and values, then we're looking out of both eyes. You know, we have the benefit of the attributes of the male, we have the benefits of the attributes of the female. But you see, in our society today, we don't have enough input from women. There's only 17% of women in Congress. There's less than 20%, it might not be 17, in academia, in higher echelons of corporate America. Women are not represented in the places of our society where decisions are being made that affect so many of us. They are in,
and you know, it's interesting too, because now, because of all the job loss and everything out there, most of the workforce now is women, because, you know, we can get us cheaper.
Well, and also too, they have said that all of these cuts that, you know, Republicans are proposing to government workers and things like that, they are disproportionately affecting more women as well. So, you know, women are taking a hit all over, and we need more women's leadership in the world, because women naturally.
Well, it's going to take some people to really stand up to. It really is, and it's going to take a lot of. Do you believe that there's kind of a global movement that's starting, at least some sort of like grassroots type of thing to
bring back the influence of the goddess?
Because I know that some of the goddess-based belief systems are some of the fastest-growing belief systems. And I say belief systems because I don't believe that they're not religions in my mind. It's more of a belief system, because it's a way of life, you know, with balance in nature, balance between the male and female, balance of the energies, the healing energies, all of that stuff. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. That's absolutely right. You know, it's not organized religion like the Catholic Church or, you know, places where, you know, people sit there and create, you know, man-made dogma. You know, and yeah, I do think it's spreading all over the world, because, for instance, at I'm trying to think of it now. It just slipped right out of my head. At the World Religions Conference, you know, there are people there that, you know, where Wiccans are part of it now, you know, people who are embracing the idea of a feminine face of God. You have progressive Christians who are demanding that, you know, the liturgy include not just the male God, but also the mother. You know, you have women fighting to be ordained. You know, in all of these little pockets.
That is super interesting. That really is. Why can't women be priests? Why can't they? That is just so absurd. I mean.
Well, it goes back to man-made dogma, and that's just
what
it is.
Yeah, it is man-made dogma. You're right.
But times are changing.
That same old dogma doesn't work anymore.
Well, you know, it works for some people because, let's face it, there are some women who are complicit in their own oppression. You know, they have sort of bought the idea that these are the word of, you know, these rules are the words of God, when really it's the rules of men. And I'm not anti-male by any stretch of the imagination. I have been married to a wonderful man for 27 years. I love men. We need men. We need men for the balance. This isn't about, you know, women taking over the world. This isn't patriarchy in a skirt, you know. This is just about, you know, bringing balance into the world so there's equality, so there's justice, so that the ideals of the sacred feminine can create a more caring culture. And, you know, and I think that's what we need desperately. That's what people are crying out for all over the world. They're tired of the oppression of the patriarchy. And, you know, religion is the linchpin of patriarchy. It legitimizes oppression. It really does. Because you can say, oh, well, those, you know, God wants us to do this. And then, you know, you get away with anything if you say, well, these are the words of God, don't you?
Well, it's interesting to see because there's so many people, especially in the psychic world, because, you know, myself and my co-hosts, we live in this world, the psychic world. There's a lot of people really seeking enlightenment, you know. And so the old, you know, dogma and the old religions, you know, it was written for those times. It may have worked then, but people are just so much more advanced now. Our world is different. We see, I mean, we have the capability to, over the internet, to be, you know, knowing what's going on in every country around the world. I mean, so we need to be enlightened on the same levels as well, you know.
Well, I think you're right, but you know, you have to realize that the powers that be, the status quo, who have held power for so long, these bastions of power and wealth, they're not going to roll over and play dead. You know, they're not going to suddenly get morality. You know, they want to hold on to what they have. It, you know, even if maybe they know that it's not the enlightened thing to do. You know. I think that that's really part of it. And, you know, I wish there, you know, was more, you know, more of the ideals of Jesus out there. You know, you have these, you know, these documentaries, what would Jesus buy? You know, how would Jesus vote? You know, it almost feels like, you know, Jesus's ideas were for a caring culture, which are very in sync with goddess ideals. I'm sure he would march down the street with a sign, quite frankly, if he were here on Earth, and join the Occupation Wall Street people.
Occupation Riverside, where I'm in Southern California, and Riverside, downtown Riverside, they're doing that. They're doing an occupation. They don't really have anything to occupy down there, but they're just kind of going around and doing stuff, and I think it's good on one end. It just depends, you know, what you're out there for. Everybody's got. I think it's a good thing. People are just going out and, like, you know, stating what they're all about.
You know, there's so much wrong. I mean, they say, "Oh, well, what do you want?" Well, they want a lot of things because there's a lot of things that's wrong. It's not just one thing they want to fix.
It's just so many things. So let me ask you this. Let's talk a little bit about your book, Sacred Places of the Goddess.
Mm-hmm.
What was your inspiration to write this book?
Well, you know, there was a little bit of magic in how that book came to be. I actually was proposing to my publisher what turned out to be my second book, Walking an Ancient Path. And when he saw the proposal, he said, you know what, I don't want to publish that because I have a better idea, you know, or he thought was a better idea. He said, I would rather have you write a book about, you know, goddess places around the world. So, you know, that's how it came to be, actually, you know, I don't know if any of your listeners out there have ever tried to get a book published, but man, it's not easy. And you've got to get a thick skin because you're undoubtedly going to get a lot of rejection letters probably before you get an acceptance letter. And so when he offered me the chance to do that, because he knew I had traveled so many places, my husband and Roy and I have traveled probably across 5 continents, going to see sacred sites, because I felt like it really validated goddess spirituality. I mean, that's why I went. You know, I wanted to stand in the places of her temples And it became so much more real to me then. It wasn't just a place that you read about in a book, you know. And you could go to the wonderful museums like the Louvre and the British Museum and see stuff that you, it's so much, you know, you just, we just don't have the volume of things like that to see here in the United States. But you could go to the Iron Age and Bronze Age sites and be in those places where she was worshipped in ancient times. And, wow, it was incredible. So I was able to take all of that and pour it into that book, and it really shows how she is worshipped all over the world, because some people might be surprised that there's goddess sites all over the world, and they might.
Well, I know that people do pilgrimages, and that was one of the things I wanted to ask you too. Why do you think that they do? There's more people than you think that are drawn to all those, like the temples in India and especially Egypt. Now, Egypt, of course, is my favorite place in the whole world, because in those ancient temples, you can really feel the energy of that magical society, the gods, the goddesses, the deities, the magic, everything. It's beyond incredible for anybody who's been there.
Well, you know, I'm sure you would probably agree, because you've done this yourself. You know, I think people need to know there's something bigger than themselves out there. Mm-hmm. You know, they want to get out of the mundane world. They want to experience something sacred. I mean, we do it for all sorts of reasons. I mean, I just said, you know, one of the reasons I did it was to validate a spirituality. But some people do it as a sacrifice, you know, to curry favor with a deity. Sometimes they'll do it for healing, you know, of their body or their mind or their soul. And people too, I think they want purpose in their life. You know, they're tired of maybe, you know, sitting by a pool on vacation, and they would rather do something meaningful, something spiritual that nourishes them. Mm-hmm. And I think those are the reasons they go today, just like those are the reasons they've gone for thousands of years. I mean, you think about the Christians had a cottage industry on pilgrimage. You know, they used to have the remains of saints in all of these different churches, and people would make a circuit and go to these different churches looking at all the bones or clothing.
Do you think they were the real bones, or you think that those were fake? No, I'm kidding.
Well, you know, I have a hard time trusting Catholicism or Christianity after them taking goddess away from us. But I would imagine maybe some might have been. But when you figure there was so much money involved, that getting pilgrims to come meant pilgrims were going to leave donations. I don't know.
It's interesting too. Well, you know that even the priesthood in ancient times did all kinds of like that kind of tomfoolery kind of stuff, you know, to kind of bring the people in too.
There would be the statues of the gods and goddesses, and the priests would get inside the statue and talk to the people, so that the people
exactly
would think
so
that
they
the
would
gods
think that the goddesses
were
talking. Yeah.
So yeah, religion can be pretty manipulating, you know. I think that's why so many of us are more hungry for spirituality.
Well, we're getting ready to, you know, we're kind of towards the last few minutes of the show, and so I wanted to ask you what one of your most enlightening experiences that you had at a sacred site that you shared in your book, something that you've shared in your book. Give us a little snippet of your book.
Well, you know, one of the first tours I ever led was 24 days in Greece. To sacred sites of goddesses and Isis as well, actually, even in Greece.
Well, she's everywhere, actually.
Yeah, Isis worship went from, you know, Asia Minor all the way to Britain. You know, some even say she crossed the Silk Road. But anyway, when we were in Delphi, I remember I was with women, and we found the spot where the Pythias used to bathe. And the water still came through the cracks in the rock, and could fill. If you would have moved this rock, which I'm sure they did in ancient times to fill the pool and empty the pool, we could have literally filled this pool with water. But instead, you know, we were just sort of covering ourselves with the water that came from the rocks. It was really interesting. It sounds like just a simple act that might not have any meaning, but it felt so powerful because it gave us the sense that we were connecting to our sister priestesses of ancient times, you know, the Pythias, the oracles of Delphi, that we were doing what they probably did once before. And it became this continuum, you know, between priestesses of the past with priestesses mm-hmm. of contemporary times who were still today, you know, honoring goddess. I think that was, you know, that was one of the most memorable, you know, things that, you know, that have happened on a trip, you know. And the second
it's interesting
example,
that you mentioned water, too, because so many experiences involving water are related to the goddess energy anyhow, because it's the feminine energy, the water, you know. I remember swimming. We were in the Nile. This was in at the end of the 80s, and we had gone to the Temple of Isis, and then we came back, and some of us were on a little island. We just took off our clothes and we swam in that water, and it was so incredible just to feel that water. It felt so cleansing, such a renewal. I know where you're coming from right there.
Yeah, and you know, and I think experiences are always different, you know. Sometimes, I mean, like in the Sekhmet temple, for instance, I had a group on another trip, and one of the women said that she felt like she went into trance and the walls went liquid. You know, I had a sense of the essence of Sekhmet came up through my yoni and filled my body. You know, so I mean, you just, I know these things sound crazy. I mean, they literally sound crazy. But I think we have to allow ourselves to be able to language these experiences, because you know, we're potentially having connection with the divine. And you know, people in the Bible used to do it all the time, but I think when people hear people like us say it, because you know, we're not connecting to God or Yahweh, because we're connecting to goddess, somehow it's somehow, you know, strange, or it's less than maybe it's even, you know, looked upon in a negative way, you know. But people have always had you know, connection with the divine. You know, angels would come. You know, people would have epiphanies. I mean, this is how we communicate with this the I call her the great she.
Well, there's she has many names. She has many names.
Well, yeah, you were saying earlier in the show, Isis is called by many things. I mean, some people actually refer to her as She of 10,000 Names. And
exactly.
Yeah, and I mean, in places that you wouldn't even think are goddess sites. I think two of the most incredible ones for me were the Temple Mount, for instance, you know, the mm-hmm. bastion of you know, of holiness for, you know, for Jews, Christians, and Muslims, the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. You have to remember that was a sacred site of goddess as well. There is still a wall from the Aphrodite Temple and the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, and anywhere the Romans occupied, they brought, you know, they brought their goddesses, temples to their goddesses. You know, in Mecca, the Kaaba stone, that stone that the Muslims circumambulate seven times. Well, you know, that seven-time circumambulation is a pre-Islamic thing. And that mm-hmm. meteorite, which the Kaaba stone is, I have it from researchers, and I write about it in Sacred Places. Muslim researchers said that stone was once worshipped as a goddess, just like Aphrodite's meteorite.
Well, isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? See, it all comes round circle by circle. Now, we're just about to wrap up here. Maureen, Bobby, Steve, do you have anything you'd like to ask Karen?
I've been enjoying this very much, listening. Thank you, Karen. And then some of the things you did speak about, I am going to kind of talk about that a little bit, because it's very interesting how they go back. Some of the saints, the pagans, and goddesses. And great show. Thanks. It was wonderful.
Thank you.
Well, Karen, I would really like to thank you for joining us tonight. We really appreciate and respect your work. I want you to have a great evening. And you can find out more about Karen Tate and her work at www.karentate.com. And Karen's contact information is on our guest page at psychicaccesstalkradio.com as well. We're going to take a few minutes to go to commercial right here, okay? We'll be right back.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
Be sure to stay tuned for the second half of our show to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. We will announce the call-in number later in the show, so be sure to have your pen and paper ready. If you were unable to catch our last week's show with Mark Anthony, Healing Grief with Belief, you'll find a recorded archive link as well as the archives of all our previous shows on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com under the Archives tab. Please feel free to circulate the archive links and future show details to your friends and families. It's our objective to connect with as many individuals as possible, so please share this link with others. And be sure to visit our other site, www.psychicbloggers.com, to learn about everything from reincarnation to the how-tos of psychic development. If you're interested in a reading from the best professional psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com, where you'll find the best verified and accuracy-tested psychics, each with their own unique gifts, including us. Each psychic has a detailed profile for you to find out more about them and choose from the list of some of the most authentic, gifted psychics around. It's an honor working with Doug and Psychic Access because of the high expectations required of each of us. And they are high expectations. It's no joke, really. Everybody on the site is a total professional. All of the co-hosts here on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com work at Psychic Access. And if you would like a personal reading from any one of us, be sure to visit us at PsychicAccess.com. We would love to hear from you. By the way, site owners and webmasters can earn 50 cents a minute on every reading on traffic that is referred to PsychicAccess.com. For more details, visit PsychicAccess.com/webmasters. If you like our show, please invite your friends, join us in the chat room, and listen to the Psychic Viewpoint. There is something for everybody, so please spread the word. We very much appreciate it. The call-in number for the free readings at the end of the show is 724-444-4851. Now I want to go to Steve. Steve, what do your guides have to say about the goddess energy?
Well, my message, you asked the question, is that the goddess energy, the feminine energy, is one of the two polarities, the feminine energy being at one end of the continuum and the masculine energy being at the other end of the continuum. And the central point is androgyny. So increasingly, people speak of mother, father, God, and we view God less and less as this male bearded being in the clouds or in the heavens that imposes or asserts masculine qualities. We think more of yin and yang, and for me it's less about man and woman and more about androgyny. More about this continuum.
The blending of it, right?
Absolutely. And you look at a person's astrology chart, their natal chart, everybody has yin and yang. Everybody has the four elements. it's somewhere in their chart, and we are made up of both the masculine and the feminine energies. And I'm looking at the beautiful full moon this evening, and the moon represents the feminine energy, the goddess, the moon goddess, and the moon in astrology represents our feelings, our emotions, the way we experience life and the world. But we have the sun in our charts as well, and the sun is the masculine energy, the core, the essence of masculinity. So we have everything, and we're complete. Ultimately, we are androgynous as well, hence the polarity of sexuality and the polarity of everything in life and in the universe.
Well, that was very well said, Steve. Very articulate. Very well said.
Thank you. I do my best.
He is. You are.
Isn't he? Isn't he?
He's
the
a
articulate one.
He's a specimen. He's a specimen of articulacy.
He speaks so nice and clear.
Well, you
and
know,
you know
he
what?
Sounds delicious. Actually,
he's yummy.
Oh, I am. I am.
He's yummy.
He's sounds like a piece of chocolate with a cherry in the middle.
No, he's yummy. And Steve, you know what? You are articulate, and you have. I can see. Well, I can wait a minute. I can feel something. I'm just saying. Just saying.
Almost I'm tasted, just, honey.
No, Steve, it has really been. There's something going on. It's really kind of cool. Self awareness.
What about you, Maureen? I mean,
I have nothing to say for myself.
Yes, you do. There is. Well, okay.
I know it's okay. I won't
okay,
resonate
Maureen.
That word.
All right.
No. I'm. Yes,
it's my understanding that you did a weekly segment on a goddess that reflected that was reflected in the topic. Tell us, we want to know this.
You want to understand this? Well, there
I
was
wanted
nothing.
To okay.
There's nothing to understand. It never happened. No, it did happen. Yes, we did actually. And I was appointed. I wasn't that it was my thing. I was appointed, and Doug will appreciate this as he listens. But that was one of our segments that we did at the very beginning, at the inception of the show, and. It was because we thought it was a very popular up-and-coming topic, which it has become for men and women. And so I was appointed the goddess person for the week. I would have to do so. I found it really fascinating because I'm all one for goddesses, and that's kind of a neat thing. And you know, women like that. Well, you know, we want to be treated like a goddess. But
we are goddesses.
We are goddesses, and we are to be treated as such. And so... There you have it, gold, and that's it. So, but I was able to do a lot of research because it was not my thing. I don't read goddess cards. I'm not the goddess. I am the goddess in my own right, but you know, like alone. So I found a lot of really cool, I'd pick a goddess for the topic to go with the theme of the show. So, sometimes that was hard to do. So if it was on intuition or karma,
that's
you know,
very interesting.
Yeah. So I was really, it was great because I got opened up to all this knowledge and insight, which is kind of fun after, you know, sometimes you get away from that. I really need to get back into that. But there was one I particularly wanted to share I really liked, and I'll never forget it. I don't know why, but I want to tell you real quick about it. And her name was Basque. The goddess that was the cat.
Bastet. Oh, that's Bastet.
Bastet. And she was an ancient Egyptian goddess. But her origins go back. What was cool about her, and there was a lot of ones I found, but what was cool about her was that she was not a domesticated cat. It was believed that from originally was not a domesticated cat, but some other feline, possibly a lioness or a leopard. But the thing that is she was a goddess of Lower Egypt, so her scarce animal, of course, is the cat. But cats were scarce in Egypt because they destroyed the mouse population, which would threaten the supply of the vital grains, which, you know, they relied on to live. In fact, cats were valued so much that when a house was on fire, the cats were carried out first, and then, if there was still time, the people were saved. So cruelty against cats during that
time.
So cruelty against a cat or killing one was a crime punishable by death. The excavations, many mummified cat bodies were found around the ancient temple of Bastet. I don't know if I say it right because I'm not from here, I'm from Atlantis. But they had been embalmed, which was a costly process also. Mm-hmm. That was usually reserved for the royalty.
Yeah, so there's a whole temple to Bastet. It's called Tel Basta, and it's all cat cat sarcophagus.
And what the thing was about her and the black and red and the colors and stuff, but she was a really cool, she's about intuition, but she was very clear about what she demanded. Bobby liked this, demanding, she demanded and requested by demand that she could be really cruel, but in a way only because she wanted people to be really careful about how they... So there's a part of her, like cruelty, but the compassion.
It's the compassion.
And she was a true healer, but you see the little statues of cat bodies in the head. I mean, the woman body in the head. I got it wrong. Anyway,
that's interesting.
So she was one of my favorite. Yeah, meow.
So Bobby, I know that you weren't familiar with this subject, but as a medium, I'm sure you get in touch with feminine energies a lot. Do you have something that you'd like to add here?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the thing, is that there was a lot of terminology being used that I didn't resonate with, or I didn't know it was called certain things. Absolutely, feminine energy. I couldn't do what I do if it weren't for that. In development and self-development, you have to give over to that receiving soft feminine side, don't you? And like you said, more compassion in order for everything to come through. I've always said, I'm not this man's man type of guy. I never have been. And yet there are still some things inside of me that are very resistant, that only opening up to that energy has allowed me to again tune in like I do. It's made me wonder, because I had a very unique experience about a year ago where I felt this complete feminine, warm, loving energy around me. It was the first time that I had felt anything on the outside of me. Usually when we tune in, things happen on the inside, doesn't it? Like for me.
Right, exactly.
Right, when I see things, it's inside my head, or I hear it inside my head, or that type of thing. But this is actually outside of me. And I, at the time, for lack of a better understanding, thought it was like Mother Earth or that type of thing. I felt very mother, like it was mother, and I just put it onto Earth. But now, especially after listening to her speak, that I believe it was that goddess energy. So again, I'm just not familiar. I don't get caught up in a lot of terminologies, because it takes me away from what really is the energetic. All we have is words to focus on and to speak with, but they're so far from the truth. And so totally resonate with everything that she talked about. I think the whole world is moving towards the feminine. I've had a lot of readings, especially this year, that focus on the woman finding her voice, finding her power, finally sticking up for herself, finally saying, it's not okay that you treat me like this.
You would agree too that most of the readings that we do, and even taking in consideration like the no jobs, the finances, would you agree that 90% is about love?
Oh, always. Yeah.
Or maybe even 95% is about
a lot. Relationships, what's going on. I'm really finding out, because it's really different for me. I have to tell you that most of the readings that I've ever done, always about relationship and love, but I never really allowed people to go there. In other words, sometimes it can really keep a person spinning just talking about relationships and that type of thing. So I thought it was more important to point out what exists inside of you, what it is that you deserve, what's so great about you, and then you automatically attract the partner to you. Mm-hmm. But since we're working here, we allow all types of questions. And you're right, 95% are coming up with relationships. And man, men really screw women up by not communicating, by not saying a certain something, or saying, yeah, baby, I love you, and then not, because they all want to know, does he think about it? I'm confused. Was he putting out this energy and I misunderstood, or what? So many misunderstandings that men create because of ego or pride or, so many different things.
The ego is what blocks it. And it's generational, too, because the younger the younger men now are better communicators, because society is, as it grew, you know, we become, you know, we've told our sons, I don't have a son, I have a daughter, but other women, they communicate more with their sons and then become better communicators, so.
Yeah, it makes me upset when, you know, I have a 15-year-old son that doesn't live with me, and he has a stepfather who's man, you know, and when I hear that he's telling him, don't cry, it's not okay to cry,
oh, that's terrible. Oh, I don't like it.
Yeah, my father was that way. I'm the way I am because my dad was the way he was. And so, yeah, that whole, bothers me too.
There's a big shift, though, guys, because you look numerologically at the energies arriving on the planet. So the children being born, there are completely new codes. So if you think that we've been going through the years 2000, 2001, 2002, and combined with different dates of the year, or different months and of the year and days of the month, numerologically, that is producing very different codes to the codes that we saw numerologically in the 1900s and 1980s, 1990s, etc. And there are very different energies arriving on the planet from spirit, but also there's a big shift in everyone because of our shift into the Aquarian age, which we've been moving into for some time. I've seen high-powered lawyers and businessmen in their 60s and 70s cry their eyes out, purging years of emotion that they haven't processed. So this goddess energy, this shift, is affecting everybody, no matter how much masculine or feminine energy they have portrayed in the world. It's affecting all of us.
I was telling a story in the chat room of going to Texas, and there was a big farmer guy that was at one of my events. Mm-hmm. And he was the typical man, as you can imagine. And his father had come through, and he cried like a baby. And then once he got that out, he came and bought 3 angel card decks from me.
How
fascinating. And scheduled 2 more galleries with family.
So that's
he
great.
Turned out. I mean, you can imagine
I
how
love
he was.
That.
Yes,
I love
he was
to
sitting
hear that.
There.
I really,
you know just
what?
Sitting
I
there
love
like
to
some
hear that.
Big man, you know. And I thought, oh no, you know, you get those men. You're like, oh god, this is gonna be a tough one. But man, he was the one that caved, and it was so awesome. We hugged at the end of the thing. It was so awesome.
Oh.
So, yeah, I love that too. I think everything is changing, and that's
well,
awesome
it's because
thing,
there's
it's
more
about
awareness.
Time.
It's an energy and it's awareness and all that stuff.
And men have screwed things up long enough. It's about time women came in and
that's
took
right.
Over.
You need to make amends, honey. Not kidding. Okay, Maureen. You did some research on goddesses who became Christian saints. What did you discover?
What? I don't even know if I'm here. Yes, I'm here.
Are you here?
I was getting mesmerized and resonated it. Mesmerized and resonated it over to Poppy.
Resonated. Come on.
Resonate and Helen Reddy. Okay.
Okay.
No, but you know, yeah, I think you guys kind of touched on that a bit with the, with what she was saying. I'm not clear if you were, but the saints. There's something about the saints. I did some research about.
Well, it was the pagan
time. Exactly.
Yeah,
the
when they came in and they took over and the people worshiping the gods and goddesses.
Right.
It was.
It was, yeah, they fused them or they ate them. No, they didn't
they
eat them.
They absorbed them.
But not all of them. But the Greek goddess who became Christian saints, like some of them, many of the god like the Christian saints, but if they were powerful in Greek pagan religion, they were either reduced to rape victims or repentant prostitutes. Honestly, I did some research. Or they had to change gender and become male warrior saints. That's how they had to do.
That's
now, that was for the Greek. Now, Aphrodite became Saint Aphrodite, of which there were several, all with saint tales. Now, some of this may not be fact, but T-A-L-E-S, not tales, you know. That not tales, like...
Now, that's fascinating. I didn't know that about Aphrodite, but that is pretty... Because Aphrodite was a goddess of love, and they put her...
They put her, but then what happened was interesting with hers, of which there were... all with saints' tales that tell how she became a repentant whore. Honestly. This is what stuff I was finding out. Now, this is interesting because this is what, of course, that would be happening. So they would take something and then do this. But the Greek goddess Nike was picked up as St. Nicholas, who was extremely... Now, like I said, this is a research I did. I'm not saying, you know, well, I went on, you know, where... High-speed, my thumb out, you know, in, hitchhiking, high-speed internet. I'm so, but she, St. Nicholas, I didn't get run. St. Nicholas, who was extremely popular whenever shipping was important, which is very fascinating. Shipping, that's where you get him handing out presents. So he is the patron saint of Russia, Holland, and Germany, all of the North Sea coast. Now, Venus became Saint Venus. Steve, you can help me with my grammar because, you know, I'm from Atlantis. Veninere, whatever. But she, with a feminized ending to her name, so what happened, so it looked like a masculine ending in Latin. So she had a major church in Rome in early Christian times, Venus. But that didn't last long. So Venus, they dropped the U.S. is what they did and put V-E-N-E-R-A. But it was the same one, they think, they're saying. But not all the saints, pagan saints, were based on pagan gods or goddesses. They were based on some holidays. But there was one that we all probably will know, and it's Bridget, the pagan goddess Bridget. And she is the Christian saint Bridget. And it's Irish, you know, Ireland official
saint.
And
that kind of almost stayed the same. That was like from the goddess to the saint, that was a pretty clear
She's pretty much the influence. And not only that, it's just February 2011, they did a big, great interview on her on a very reputable magazine about, and they went and talked about it. But they did change the calendar, but she's about the only one, I guess I could say, what I researched, that they really could have been intervened somehow. They let that happen. So I didn't know all that. And I thought, you know, because I was raised Catholic, I'm a good Catholic girl in the saints.
There's a lot of us that were raised Catholic.
isn't that something, you know, in Catholics? Yes,
but, you know, it's a ritualistic type, though.
You know what? You're right. And I finally
the
came
candle
to,
lighting.
I know, the incense.
All that stuff, the incense.
And I finally figured out, okay, I had peace with all the Catholic schools. I finally made peace when I figured out, wait a minute, if it wasn't for all that, I wouldn't be... You know, in the dark, do my little things. And I have holy water right here, too. Well, I can put some on everybody.
Well, I think that some psychological level brought you to where you're at.
Well, no, it isn't. It's one of the most ritualistic religion, traditional religions, you know, major ones, traditional ones. And you're right. It's funny you bring that up because I talk about that. No one else really knows. How did you know? You're psychic.
I must be psychic.
Brenda, you're a lovely woman. Brenda, you're lovely. Anyway, that's all I got to say. The end.
All right. Bobby, do you have anything else? We want to hear from you, Bobby. Anything else?
No, I think it's all said.
It's all
good. Part of the chat room, women are, we talk about waiting for that love of their life and that type of thing. And I think they're so quick to assume that it's something wrong with them. You know, that there's something I'm not doing, something I need to be doing. And, you know, sometimes they, especially with relationships, they all take it so personal. Like it's something they did. And it's like, well, what if you didn't? What if you're not the one that screwed up, you know?
I don't know. You probably get the same questions. They say, "What is there anything I can say that could change his mind?"
Yeah, right. Exactly, and that's why they want to know so much about what they are thinking so that they can approach them. It's like, you know, it's okay that you – the other misconception is that, well, I love him though. And it's like, well, you can love somebody and have that connection but necessarily not have them be appropriate for you. You know,
well,
there's a big connection.
I believe that love is not enough. I mean, you can love somebody, but then what? I mean, maybe that's a Capricorn talking because that's mean we're hard-headed, you know? It's like,
no,
we're
I think
just
it's
the
just
facts,
a,
ma'am, you know?
No, it's just a misconception. Most people think, well, I love him. You know, if only I hated him, it would be easier. Or they think that you cannot love and not have. If I'm in love, that must mean we're supposed to be together. And that's not true at all.
And a lot of times it just hits you on the back of the head so many times, like, hello, how many times do you have to be shown that it's, you know, this isn't going to be the path, this isn't the fate, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah.
So, anyhow, I believe we've come to this the part of the show where we'll be taking your calls and questions. You can either call in or ask your question in the chat room, everybody out there. However, we do have to take the call-ins first due to their wait time. The call-in number again for your free reading is 724-444-4851. Again, 724-444-4851. Please be aware that each call will automatically be placed on hold and will be answered in the order received. Please relax and listen to the show while you wait. Be very specific and direct with your question, as this will allow us to better connect with your situation. And we can only take one question per person, as this will allow for us to take all the calls in that are waiting. Are we ready to go?
Where are we going?
No, for the readings. Are we ready to do these?
I mean, I'm going. Oh, okay.
I think there's
a call from New York.
Bang, bang,
all
kidding.
Right, Mr. Bobby, it's your turn from New York.
From New York. Hi, who's on the phone from New York? Hello?
Oh, my. Sorry. Hello, that's goddesses, right. And men, too. Hello.
Hi. Who are you? What's your name?
My name is Jen.
Okay, Jen, hi. Well, how can I help you tonight?
Well, I know I had to ask a specific question, but I'm going through a lot of changes lately, yeah. Like really big ones, just spiritually as well as like just the mundane stuff. And I'm just kind of looking for confirmation. I feel like it's a good thing, but it's also very painful, you know, lately.
Right.
I don't know if that's a good enough question for you guys, or...
It is. I'm sorry I can't help you. I have not a clue. But thanks for calling in. No, I'm kidding. I'm
oh,
totally
you're witty?
Kidding.
Uh-huh.
I'll get you in the chat room, my friend. No.
Oh, no. Everybody's like, I know who you are, Mr. Well, listen, the changes you've been going through, of course it's a good thing. And isn't it funny how we always need some confirmation on that? Even I... You know, when we're doing I've been in self-exploration for close to 25 years, and it still helps to hear from somebody that it's exactly what's happening is supposed to be happening right now, you know? So you 7 billion people on the planet need the exact same thing, and there's nothing wrong with that. So the thing is that the changes you've been going through, because especially have been happening because for the past 2 years you've been hanging on so tight to everything. You haven't allowed yourself to forgive. You've had a little bit of I don't want to go deep into victim consciousness because it's not that strong, but at the same time there's been some, you know, blaming a little bit. And whoever this is also from the other side, that and it's not tuning in completely to them, but I know that there's some issues there with that person who crossed over. But the thing is that for the past 2 years, you've really started to let go, and especially so in just the past 6 months. In my experience, what happens, the minute you start to let go, that huge boulder is removed, and everything just starts just rushing forward, all this change and dramaticism and just everything really happens, and it can be quite significant. And then it'll start to die down just a little bit. You'll still go through some change. They may not be as significant as this first one, but still happening just the same. So all of this, of course, is such a great thing because, like we were talking about earlier, you are one of those as well that we've talked about that's finally starting to come up, find your voice, you're starting to speak up now, maybe I should say what I want. You know, I sit back, everybody says, so what movie do you want to go see? And everybody just says something, you just kind of sit in the back and wait. Now you're like, oh, I want to go see this. You know, you're just starting to speak up now. And I think it's great. So all of these changes are quite necessary. It's just a shaking up period. The dust will start to settle down here in about another month or two, and then you're going to be great. I mean, you're already feeling so much more of the freedom, aren't you, than you were 6 months ago? Can you feel, look, some of the best ways to see how far you've come is to look at where you've been. And can you feel the constriction that you had 6 months ago and more of the freedom that you have now? Can you feel that inside?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
yes.
Don't just listen to me because I said it, so it's important that you feel it inside, and that's your gauge, that's your system, so you can check to see how far you've come. And then when you do have questions like, I wonder if, you can easily check inside of there and go, you know what, damn straight, you know, and yeah, it's really great. I mean, good for you, because you're inspiring that energy inspires other people around you as well. So, brilliant. That's way to go.
Thank you. Wow. You said everything I needed to hear, so I appreciate that.
You're very welcome. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah.
Thank you, New York.
Thank you.
Maureen, you have a caller from Indiana.
And I love Indiana. No tigers. I know bears. Hi, Indiana. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, and what's your name?
It's Leah.
Leah, hi, Leah. And what can I focus in for you tonight on?
Well, this can sound really strange.
No.
I sort of followed my intuition into moving to Indiana. I was curious as to why I moved down here to Indiana.
Okay, so you intuitively picked up, you were able to be in a position, and you went from Indiana from what, 1,000, I mean,
South
six,
Dakota.
Seven?
I went from 1,145 miles away.
Wow. Good. What a great, you know what? What a great feeling that is. Okay, so you're there now, and now what? You're thinking why? I can tell you why. Indiana's really a great place. I'm in California, but I'm just saying, I think there's a good reason why you... Okay. When did you do this? Did you do this in the last 8 months? I mean, is it something like...
I did it in July.
Just this July, August, September? Okay,
yeah.
So you're so very... So was it 8 months? Like, did you just think about this like an 8 months? It wasn't like a... You know, you couldn't have planned this one out. But you... Yes, I think that's a fantastic thing. So now, God, I remember those days. That this is the best time of your life right now. Okay, so you go and you're able to do this, and now you're there. 8 months ago, you know what? It looks like there was a big celebration. You had good friends supporting this too. Girly friend. It looks like sisterly people like embracing this. It's like a big celebration. It's like maybe some of them weren't able to. You know, this is fantastic because I see what's happening is, and I do feel we're colored by environment, and I used to run around then move to Alaska. I'd do this thinking I was going to be happier. I found it had nothing to do where I was going, but really it had to do with the, you know, environment. It just did. I feel that you're really making peace with something to do with your past. I mean, we all have past issues, but there's something very gentle and caring about your past that I think you need to honor, and then you'll be okay with it, and it'll be okay to move on. I don't know how to express it than how I am, but it,
let me see if I can tune into this. I think it has something to do with my first love, because he's in the area.
Okay, with your what to teach in the area? You said with your. I didn't hear that.
My first love was Cincinnati, which is about 72 miles away from Cincinnati.
Right. Okay, you know what? Also, okay, I didn't hear that one part you said, and I wanted to hear it because I know it's meant something. You said something to teach with your, what'd you say? Teach with, the word I couldn't, well, okay. Anyway, I mean, my thing's really loud. Okay, anyway, I do feel that
I think, Maureen, what she's saying is that she believes she moved there because having to do with a love.
Okay, so she wasn't coming out with it at the beginning. Well, thank you, Mr. Man.
I was just
I know, I'm glad you intervened. No, I appreciate that, of course. Now, this is interesting. Well, I want to tell you, regardless of if you did decide go for a man or not, this is what I'm going to go on with this. But I do appreciate what you're for love. She said for love, right? That's what she said.
Well, relationship, yeah, man.
Well, yeah, well, yeah, you know, I don't hear those words. I'm so funny. I don't get to thank you, Bobby, actually. But you know what? What I do see, so you do kind of have a feeling why you went there or why your intentions were to go there. But what I see going on with you heading in the months ahead also, I do feel you're a very successful woman. You have so much going for you. What happens is if you can't pull something off, your expectations are way too high. You get really low, down low on yourself, and you really are not... You really shouldn't have such high expectations on everything because you can pull off everything so perfectly. And people, It's not about them not seeing it. It's that people, you just need to back off yourself and be gentle and nice and sweet, because you can do so much. You've got so many great ideas. You can be a perfect corporate woman, a wife if you want to be, anything you want. There's a man here I do see. He's very wishy-washy. He looks like he has a lot of energy, but he's coming and going. And he looks like his eyes are kind of green. He's very charming. People look at him. He's nice to look at on the eyes. He's flighty. He's going through some really inner things. I don't feel he's a bad guy, but he's not settled yet into his own skin. This is useful sacrifice, because we're getting down to this is about maybe a male. I feel it's going to be difficult for a while, but I feel useful sacrifice, meaning, and this is how I'll end it when I say this, for you, it'll be a resurrection. If you decide and you make a choice to hang in there, it's like being nailed to the cross, but you get to resurrect. Some people get nailed to the cross, but they don't resurrect. It's called useless sacrifice. This is a useful sacrifice with this male energy around you. But he is going through some very interesting times. He's going to be difficult to be. He'll be detached, and he'll look wishy-washy, and he'll be all over the place. But I don't feel that he's a bad guy. I do get he'll get his lessons. So I hope that helped you. But you're going to do
so
great.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. And take care, but you don't be so hard on yourself. You can't be perfect.
I will.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Bobby. That helped me. It does, did.
That's all right. It was kind of tough to hear her. She was breaking up just a little bit.
No, but that was great. That helped me a lot. There you have it. And then we have Steve.
Who's the next caller? Where's the next caller from, Maureen?
I think it's from the mothership. No.
The mothership.
The mothership, Virginia. Just close, Virginia.
From Virginia, wonderful. Who's calling from Virginia?
Hi, Steve. This is Dee. How are you?
I'm well, thank you, Dee. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Good. How can I help?
I'm calling to find out, do you see my finance improving anytime soon?
I tell you what I do feel, Dee. I feel a change of work for you, and I feel that your improvement in finances is associated with a change of work. I feel as well that you've got a much stronger sense of your purpose. You really want to create positive change. And throughout this year, you've focused more and more on doing what's important to you rather than just focusing upon the finances. So appreciating that money comes, abundance comes from you using the gifts that God gave you when you came into this lifetime, or when you transitioned into this lifetime. So I feel as you focus on who you truly are and the role you want to play in the world, then a new work opportunity comes. And I feel that it comes in February. Intuitively, I'm very much drawn to the month of February. But my guides are saying you need to be more assertive about the role you want to take in the world. Don't lose your nerve or your confidence in what it is you truly want to be doing, and don't be stubborn about opportunities. So be really open to spirit showing you alternatives, and I feel if you do that, then you will be successful. I feel that your finances or your income will increase quite significantly. I'm drawn to the number 44. Oh, actually, I'm drawn to that number for two reasons then. So I feel about a 40%, 44% increase in your household income next year. But also, I know the number 44 comes up because it's the number of great compassion and service. You know, 33 is compassion and service as well, but 44 is real angelic, transformational work, and I feel that that's the way you should head, Dee. Does that make sense to you?
So you're saying that you see me changing career sometime next year. I want to make sure I'm following you correctly.
I see you changing work. It doesn't necessarily mean career, but I see you in a different role from February.
Okay. And with that comes the increase as far as the finance?
Yes. Yeah. It doesn't all come in February. It comes February and later in the year, September again. But I definitely feel a change in work for you in 2012.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Steve. I appreciate
your
help. Thank you.
Good luck, Dee.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Lovely, Rudy. Is there anybody there? Hello, you guys.
Hi. I'm
waiting for Brenda.
Hello.
Brenda's up next.
Brenda's up next. And Brenda?
Hey, is this Brenda? Hello.
I think Brenda's with us. Brenda?
Hello. Oh, I've got a Harley driving my
car. Uh-oh, her mic might not be working.
Oh, my, she,
okay, because I didn't hear anything.
Can you hear me? How's that?
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, can you hear me? Hi, Brenda. This is Deborah.
A little technical
Debbie, whatever you want to call me.
I thought I was going to have to channel Brenda.
I have a quick question. Are you ready?
I don't know if you want to do that. Okay.
Oh, the power.
How can I help you?
Okay. I've spoken to you many times, or twice, I guess. I have a friend that's in my life now. For him, it's physical. For me, it's just the companionship is just a friend. I feel he wants more, or his reasons is illegal or whatever. Could you tell me what is on his mind? Because my interest is not really there, but it keeps me from being lonesome. Does it make sense?
Okay, let's take a peek here. What do you mean by illegal?
Because he's from another country, and what he tries to do is bring people from his country here. And
right.
He wants me to marry someone so they could come here. I'm not marrying anyone for that. I'm already married. You know, I'm not trying to do that again. But
well,
it's like they're friends, but it seems like he's constantly talking about how there's people in his country that needs to come, and if you could get a visa, you know, different things like that.
Well, I have to tell you honestly that there is a hidden agenda, as you know. You can feel it, you
yeah,
know, and so you really have to balance your feelings towards him. He's not altogether a bad person, but he does have an agenda, and I do see that he is pushing. And there's a lot of things revolving around money, too. Has he asked you for money?
No, he's trying to provide money. He could get $10,000 if you do this.
Oh, well, I see. So he's offering you money to do this.
He don't ask me for money at all.
So he's offering money, in other words, because there's money around this.
He's very generous.
And I have to tell you something. There's the hidden thing around this is, I'm just getting the overwhelming feeling, just back away from it, because some of it could get you in trouble, and I do see that he has gotten in trouble before, and I feel that there is certain activities he's involved in that are being watched. So at this time, I'm feeling, you know what, take this very lightly. You can talk to him, you can confide with him, but I would not do any business with him, and I would not let him draw you in there. It just doesn't feel right, honey.
It don't feel right at
It doesn't
all.
Feel right at all. I feel it just feels like, you know, he's kind of desperate. He does like you as a friend, but he's using that friendship, and it just doesn't feel real.
Exactly. It don't at all. Thank you so much. You've kind of made it clear.
Yeah, you just need to back away from this. Run.
Okay, no. Thank you. Have a great night.
Okay, you too. Bobby, okay. You're next from Colorado.
All right. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
This is Carol.
Hi, Carol.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. What would you like to talk about?
I want to talk about, I started a book. I joined the forces of the National, I can't even remember the acronym now. But it's writing a book.
The National for People Who Are Just Now Starting a Book Club?
No, it's not a book club.
Oh.
It was just a joke anyway,
Carol. I was just kidding.
Writing. It's called NaNoWriMo. And it's National Organization for Writing a Novel in a Month. And I started this novel, and it's really, really fun. I guess I would classify it as fantasy, but I want to know if I should go forward with it because I'm having so much fun writing it. And I started 10 days late, so I'm like a lot of words behind everybody else, but I still think it would be fun. So I wanted to find out about that.
Okay. Well, I guess, you know, even as you're asking me, should I continue on with it? It's funny because the two sentences that you use together is, should I continue to write this because I'm having so much fun? And to me, that's like, you see what I'm coming from? Like, we say things sometimes and it really is such an insight as to what it is that we're actually feeling. Anytime that you can use the two phrases together, I'm doing this and having a blast, that is so tuned into source, power, energy, whatever you want to call it, that's it, you know? Obviously, what happens is the work that you put into it, which is not really like work because it's coming from an inspired passion place. You say fantasy, but I think I can feel a little reality mixed in there too, you know, but you're just, it's so healing for you. Anyway, writing is just healing for everyone. You know, if we sit down and write a letter to ourselves or we just sit down and I used to have some of my clients, you know, as a thought would hit them, they would send me an email, write it to somebody. It's weird because they try to write their thoughts down like a diary sorts, but they couldn't, the words wouldn't flow. So as soon as they say, "Dear Bobby," or "Dear whoever," and make it out to somebody, the words just came. So as you're writing, I think what happens to you is that you're keeping your audience in mind or who might be reading this. And so you're kind of writing it to their liking and writing it from within. And that's why you're having so much fun. Now, if you had said, "This really sucks and I'm just having the worst time ever, but I'm writing it," then it would be a whole different conversation, wouldn't it? So that's how you know. There's really, it's so easy to just check your internal guidance system and figure out, when I'm writing this, how do I feel? If it feels good, keep writing. If it doesn't, don't. And then, if it doesn't feel good while you're writing it, don't just give up writing forever. Just wait until that energy passes. See what happens the next day. It could just be a little cloud, you know, a little funk. And then write when you do feel inspired to write again. Sometimes it's 5 minutes. Sometimes you sit down for 3 hours. But the thing is, you never know how this is going to affect somebody. So this that you're writing, the people that are going to read it are going to feel the energy in the words in the book that you put it in. You can write it with your own intention. I mean, I'm getting ready to contradict myself here in a moment, but what happens is when you write something like that down and put your energy and your intention into that, people are going to be drawn to that book, and they're going to read it, and they're going to get exactly out of it what you hope that they would. And then there's, of course, some people who are really going to trigger around it. You can put all the energy and intent into it, and no matter what, some people are still just not going to resonate. And so what? This is healing for you. This puts it out for whoever's going to read it. And, I mean, absolutely. So, again, I still have to stick to the very first part of what I said, which is, I'm having so much fun writing this, and should I keep going? That's your answer right there, isn't it? Does that make you see what I'm saying? Am I explaining it right to you, that you understand?
It's perfect. Yeah, it's perfect.
Good.
Thank you.
So in other words, the psychic eternal message from the other side, cut it out. Keep writing.
Oh, that's interesting. So we really know. It sometimes takes, you know, a view from the outside, you know?
Always. You know, we just get so caught up.
You're so narrowed and caught up.
Soul back to us. It was perfect. Thank you.
Well, you know, the thing is that I can say all of this, and it's not like all of a sudden, wow, these words of wisdom and you're enlightened. This stuff we already know, isn't it? It just resonates inside. I'm not telling you anything that you haven't thought yourself. It just gets clouded over by the thoughts and, you know, the thinking too much.
I believe.
Type of thing, you know? So, but again, that's you and 7 billion people on the planet, so don't worry about it. Yeah, keep going.
Great. Thank you so much.
Of course, yeah. Bye-bye. Have a good night.
Bye, you too.
And Georgia. I'm sorry, Brenda.
Oh, that's
and
okay.
And Brenda, Georgia, Brenda. Hi, Georgia.
Maureen, Georgia is calling.
Hi, Georgia.
Hello.
State of. Hi, and what's your name?
Kathy.
Hi, Kathy. And what may I focus? Well, what can I help you with, or what can I help direct you to?
I'm just trying to find out if you see the status. I had a phone interview last week, and I haven't heard anything good or bad, so I'm trying to find out if you can see what's going on.
Is this for your work in creative? Is this for your career work?
Or yes.
You asking?
Yes.
Okay. I might have spoken to you before. Okay, so you haven't heard back from some, and this is something you, this one particular interview, you haven't heard back, this one you really want, and that, is that correct? I'm understanding what I follow it, I'm pretty sure. So you're wondering if it's just a delay. You know, you went to, was this number second interview, or was it,
No, it's just the first phone interview that I did.
Okay. So you're asking or you're wondering what's going to come of this one you ideally want. And I feel, you know, this is the thing. I don't know. This is what I'm getting. I'm getting that this looks, I don't know what type of position or whatever company or job career, but it looks like it's a more orthodox or traditional type of feeling I'm getting. Now, I do see you and I see you happy and being happy in the next 3 weeks. I see happiness, celebrate. It's almost like happiness about getting something or, you know, it's like a little bit of a party, like a celebration, whereas you would be happy. Is this something that you have just, you know, I don't know exactly how much you want this particular thing, but I do feel that you're feeling suspicious about you wouldn't get it because everything is, there's been a lot of past or previous something that wasn't fair, and this time around I really feel that you pulled your energy together and your personal power. If you really want this, and I think that you've given it your all, you're certainly up for it, and I see you making a decision, a big decision about something. Maybe you might have to, would you have to go somewhere or move, or would it's something that would be a bigger thing if you got this job or this position. But you keep thinking it's not going to happen. This is the interesting part, but I see it happening. I see you getting, because you manifested everything you needed to do in order to get this, but because there's been a lot of somewhat unfair, unjust things in the past, like we all have, but this time, you know, it's almost like, you know, sometimes we really start freaking out with, once we get what we really have been desiring, then it gets really, almost you get anxiety, oh my gosh, it's really happening. That's the feeling I'm getting, and I do feel very positive about it. And so, are you following me at all with this?
I am, but so you're thinking in 3 weeks I'll have an offer, but do you see when I'll go in?
Well, I see you celebrating. Now, I could be off on my time. I'm not always perfect, but it came out of my mouth. It could be within 3 days you get the news, and then you're having fun in 3 weeks with friends and how happy you are. All I know is I do see you celebrating that you're happy. And you have something to celebrate. You're like socializing. There's socializing going on. Like, so would you have friends very happy for you with this? Is this something you've? I don't know all the ins. You know, we didn't get involved with. You know, you didn't feed the psychic here. I already ate. No, I didn't. But you know, I didn't get a lot about exactly. So I'm picking up. So when I get a lot of stuff, it sometimes just so much I don't know how to articulate. But because of what I'm seeing is, I feel you're very happy about something. So unless you're just a happy kind of girl going out all the time, celebrating whatever, yeah. I feel that you're going to get this. If this is one you really particularly want, that you've been really wanting. And I feel also you're always thinking you're not, it's not going to happen. And you know, I don't know what's happened in the past with you, but you have all the makings for this, and you've never been really acknowledged before in the past for certain things you allowed. You didn't get the credit. But this is something that you've really made happen. I see your personal power really brought in, but you're still feeling it's not. Yeah. I see it happening for you. What is this? Is this something that you've really decided is this something you really want, this position?
Well, I think what you're picking up on is it's
kind of weird, but since you're a psychic, you kind of understand too, because I don't claim that I'm a psychic. Everybody just tells me I know things. I just, you know how when it just, it was one of those things that I spoke to them, I said, I said, oh, I guess this is my job. And then I went and found the building, which I only do that if I'm very peaked. So I went and found the building just to see what fill I would get on the building. And I'm like, yep, this is my job. So, but then it's a week later, and that's kind of why I'm in the,
I understand.
Maybe not. What's going on? So that's where maybe the hesitation is. But
you know what? You're right about that. You're good.
I think this is it. And I don't have anything to support that on, but
doesn't matter.
My gut.
You know what? This is the thing. I'm all about, I'm so into the union, everything, unions, all the union, Carl, everything. And he said something that made so much sense about if we all just did the job we're supposed to do, we'd all be really better off. Instead of being the corporate executive, you know, bless their hearts. I grew up in a big financial family like that. Maybe they're not meant to, maybe they should be doing another job. But we all have these things in our egos and stuff going on. You have brought up a really good point because that's how I got to my work. It wasn't like I planned this, oh no how. Oh no how, I did not. But it is my work. And someone said, do you love it? It's not that I love it. I must do it. I know what I must do. And it is what it is. But I understand what you're saying, and that's maybe why I'm getting some of these mixed feelings. But you did manifest this in at any rate. And, you know, the word psychic or not, it doesn't, look, I don't believe in anything. All I know is what I know. So I'm open to anything, but all I know is what I know. And people and their beliefs and everything, or I believe this. I've experienced things, but I do feel that your intuition's right. You have a lot of faith, but then on the other hand, like I said, there's been some unjust unfairness, but you're now getting to a really good place, and that's really lovely. Go for, you know what, enjoy this. But you're going to have doubts. That's all. But that's because that's coming from your own intuition. You know how you do when you don't know for sure that maybe I'm not, and you're thinking I'm, you know. This is your time.
Okay.
Stay away from that man. Stay away from this man that has raging issues. I don't know who he is. I know you didn't ask about a man, just some male who just doesn't, he just is aggressive too much. So, and you are on a good person, you have a personal power attack, so you stay there with yourself. Just a little bit of something I wanted to tell you. That's all.
So, you just be concerned with the man at the job or just the man at the
home? No, just somebody that you know from the past. He's just, he likes to tell people what to do, but he can be raging. I don't see him as bad. He can be angry, raging. He needs help with himself, but this is not about him. But I just wanted to tell you, this is about your time now. This is all about you, and this is going to be really good. It's going to be really intense, and it'll be kind of anxious and a little bit weird, but it's good. I can see it. It's going to be wonderful. Good for you.
Okay. Thank you.
Good for you. Bless your heart. You've done the work. You got your lessons, and there you go. So, yeah, there you have it. I hope I helped you, and you have a lovely night. Thank you.
Thank you for
bye-bye.
Calling in. Okay, we have time for one more reading. And
hello.
Steve, there's a caller from Wisconsin.
Great.
Yes.
Who's calling from Wisconsin?
Yes. Hello?
Hi there. What's your name?
Duana.
Duana.
Well, let me jump in one Duana. Second. I was mistaken. We do have time for a few more. Sorry to interrupt you.
No problem, Brenda. How can we help, Duana?
Yes. I'm just wondering where to go in my life right now. I'm kind of confused and I'm kind of lost right now. So just kind of wondering what direction I should go. Because I have, like, a lot of stuff going on with myself right now.
Sorry, I didn't catch the end of your sentence there. You have a lot of stuff going on with...
What's that?
I didn't catch the last sentence you said. You said you have a lot going on with, and then I missed what you said.
Yeah. I just have a lot of things going on, so I'm just kind of wondering what direction I should go.
Okay. Let's see. Well, the first thing I get for you is the need to move, not only move around, but to move. I really feel from what my guides show me that you're at a stage at which you really want to shake everything up. It's as though everything you've worked for, everything you've accumulated and created, you want to lift it and throw it up in the air and see what comes back down magically, see what's recreated. It's really a very powerful energy, but it's an energy that can cause you to feel down, to cause you to feel lost, cause you to feel more introverted. And my guides are saying you need to move this energy. So you need to make sure that every day you're moving, not only moving physically, you know, getting out and doing something physically, but also moving your mind towards what it is you actually want in life. Because I feel strongly that if you're able to do that, and if you're able to really project what you want more clearly to the world, then you really can create huge change. I know that you love books. My guides keep on showing me books, and I'm seeing a lot of notes and reading, research, and ideas. You've got an incredible intellect, a really clever mind, but you need to really be more confident about your abilities. Be more confident about who you are. You're holding back, and you're not socializing enough. You're not getting out there enough. You're becoming too inward. Does this make sense?
Okay, yes. It makes sense. I also have a question about something, because I'm kind of something that I've really been battling with. It's like I don't know where to go, like in relationship wise, but I have two guys that I'm not sure like who to be with, and I'm like stuck. That's one of my places I'm really stuck also.
Yeah, I'll tell you what my guides show for you, and again, you know, you always have the choice. You can decide which path you take in life. But my guides are saying, you know, forget everyone else right now. It doesn't mean that you end the connections or you turn your back on anybody. But my guides are saying to you, focus on yourself. You know, this is really an important time for you to increase your energy, to move around, to really focus on what you want to do in life, what you want to be. You've got a great writing ability, and you've read so much. You can produce really good writing, but also there's a big part of you that needs to travel, that needs to move from where you're located right now. And you have to trust that as you step into your role in the world, as you get on your path, then the people that love you will be in favor of what you're creating, what you're becoming, what you're choosing. I really don't feel that now is the time for you to be focusing on relationship. I feel strongly that it's time for you to engage in your self development, in your social life, in your interests. You're interested in metaphysics as well, but there's a strong writing ability, as I said. And my strong feeling with you is the more you focus on a relationship, a romantic relationship, the less you focus on yourself, because you tend to put all of your energy into a relationship and really forget yourself and what you want to be and what you want to create. So the answer to your question is focus on yourself right now. Focus on creating what you want to create and let everything else around you just unfold the way it should. I don't feel that you need to choose a person right now or choose between people. I feel you need to choose yourself. Okay.
I understand that. And something you had said about traveling and something kind of got me. I just had a question, because one of the people that I was talking to had said he lived down south, and I was just wondering, he had asked me to come down there and stay down there with him. I was wondering what you see with that, if that's something that I should or should not do.
My guides are saying should not.
Okay.
They're saying focus on yourself,
okay,
your path, and do what's right for you. And the people that love you will be there.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay. Yep, thank you.
You're welcome. Good luck to you.
Yes, thank you. You have a nice night. Thank you so much.
You too. Bye now.
Bye-bye. Thank you. That was great, Steve. I love that. I'd like to hear his readings. You've got great readings. I love your readings.
Thank
okay.
you.
I looks like I have someone from South Dakota. Hi, South Dakota. Who am I talking to?
This is Heidi. And if it possible, could Bobby be the one to visit with me?
Oh my goodness! Snap. Okay.
Wow.
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I'm going to think about this for just like a minute, you know, because it's my turn. No.
Actually, to be quite honest, Doug's actually saying no.
Yes,
we have a kind of sequence that we go into.
Yeah. So.
Sorry, Brenda.
You know what? That's okay. That's all right. But you know what? I tell you what. I will give you a read, and if Bobby, you want to jump in, we'll just kind of like double team you. How's that?
That's fine because we're kind of double teaming you here. This is for my daughter because she's too scared to call in, but she's on the chat, so she is listening.
Okay. And what's your question, honey?
She would very much like to know about her brother. And what he was depressed about, and where he is.
Okay, well, the very first thing that came up was him. And I do believe that he, in his mind, feels like he's had a personal tragedy. And that his whole world has been upset. And I feel that he's safe. But his whole world is completely turned upside down. I'm getting that he had a lot of thoughts of negative thoughts before this happened. I do believe he's in a safe place now. one of the things that I'm seeing here is that there can be communication. Do they have like a psychic connection, her and her brother?
I'm sure there is.
Yes, because I'm getting that there is... even through the dream state and stuff, communication between the two of them. But I feel that he's being held back from returning at this point. What do you think, Bobby?
Absolutely. I don't want to, you know, step on messages and things like that. I think you said it correctly. One of the things that I find, though, is that, you know, on the other side and stuff, I would not constantly worry that he's in some type of limbo or some type of hell or some type of that. In my experience, they just are a little confused. You know, it's like we're all here in school, right? And up to the 12th grade, and then when we cross over, we go to college. School doesn't stop. But for those who drop out of high school, they aren't completely where the rest of us usually are. In other words, they try to go into the college and the dean says, wait a second, there's some things you have to, you know, make atonement. You might have to take some responsibility. Let's just clean up some things first. Go back, get your GED, as it were, and then learn some lessons before he can stop being confused and that type of thing. So, right, Brenda? Were you
exactly. Well, I was going to jump in and just say one of the things I pick up coming from him is, especially towards his sister, is that he wants her to go ahead with her career goals. He doesn't want her to give up on that. And that what's around him now is all about a karmic path, just like you said, in other words, you know. So he's in a safe place. I do feel that. What's happening now is new foundations in his life. Mm-hmm.
That's wonderful to hear. I'm sure I think you've pegged something, so yeah.
Well, if she's also listening, let me just throw one more thing in. When she's talking to him, as she does all the time, one of the things he's saying is it's not necessary for her to continue to apologize to him. She needs to stop that. He doesn't need that energy.
Yeah, it's nothing that she did.
It's nothing that she did. Absolutely.
Perfect. I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Okay. All right, Bobby, you have a caller from New York, honey.
New York, hello.
Hello?
Hi. You're getting through. How are you?
Hi. I just have a question about school. I'm in this program, in this education program, and I just really don't like the school culture, and it's kind of like been making me feel really, just making me almost unproductive for the past, like,
year
and a half.
I don't even like the way that feels when you said I'm in this class or whatever you said like that. I don't even like the way that feels. There's not even a connection there. Is this something you had to take, or did you elect to take this?
No, I want to be in this. I want to. This is a program to teach, and I want to teach. I just don't like the school culture, and I'm thinking of possibly transferring, even though I'm almost through the program. And one of my friends suggested Long Island University. I'm at Hunter College. And she said Long Island University has kind of a different culture, and I'd be happier there. And I'm just wondering if I should be considering it.
What's the other one? You said they mentioned a couple of different ones. What's the other one besides Long Island?
No. She just mentioned Long Island University.
If I was coming from your place, I would stay where you're at. If Long Island was the other choice, I would stay where you were at and see it through. If you had a different, that's why I was asking. I thought you had said that she would mention a couple of different ones, one of them being Long Island, because Long Island also doesn't connect with me as much. It's like it would just be, I don't know, almost starting over, two steps back. I think you would get a little more defeated, you know, and not want to go forward. So it would just feel better to me that you just stay where you're at, see it through if you can, because like you said, you're almost done. If you can do that, now, of course, you know, you've got obviously free will, and you don't have to listen to that type of advice. And if you think you'll be happier Long Island, go. But I'm just letting you know how the situation feels, right? Obviously, which is why you're calling. But out of the two, it just kind of seems more clear to me just to stay where you're at. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I know you don't want to do that. I know you don't connect. You don't like the culture, and that's not, you know, it's kind of the lesser of two evils there almost. But, you know, even though you might be a little happier at Long Island, it just, I think you'd feel a little bit more defeated and such. It would just be a little tougher for you rather than just write it out. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah.
And I guess a second question, which is a follow-up question, is am I in the right profession?
I kind of have to wrap it up,
you know,
because we're getting ready to stop the show.
Yeah.
But yes, you are.
Okay.
Don't worry about that, okay?
Okay.
All right, sweetie. Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, we're going to have to wrap up the show, and I know that there's a couple people waiting that are wanting readings, and, you know, we wish we could take everybody all night long, but we do have to wrap up the show. Please call us back next week. And I want to say that this brings us to the end of another wonderful show. A big thank you to Doug. A really big thank you to Doug. Doug, who works behind the scenes and keeps us all on track as our executive producer. And I want to thank you, a big thank you again to my co-hosts for joining me tonight.
Well, we had to. No,
that's right.
Yeah, Doug said we'd be
here,
so
it was a great for show. Great for show.
It was a great show.
Fantastic. He was wonderful.
Oh,
great guest. Really was. Thank you.
Well, next week we have Steve. And Steve, tell us about your show.
This week we have a great show all about post 11/11/11 harmonics with our guest Charlene Hood, who is a colleague and great friend of mine. She does wonderful work with spirit, and she channels all kinds of information from spirit, from the universe, about the energetic changes that we're experiencing right now and the shifts that we'll be going through as we move forward. So I'm very excited to have her as a guest. She's a really great lady and has a huge amount of knowledge to share with us, so it will be a lot of fun.
That sounds like it. Sounds like a fascinating subject. Everybody wants to know about the 11-11. And then I want to mention also that our Thanksgiving show is going to be one where we give free readings all night during the time of the show. We will be giving free readings, and it'll be just kind of an extra Thanksgiving treat. So good night to everybody. Steve?
Good night.
Good night,
Brenda. Steve. Thank you.
Maureen.
Good night,
guys. Bye, Bobby.
Good night.
Bye, Junkway. La-la, bye.
Hello. My name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.